Welcome to Portraits on Arizona Shine.
Each week on Portraits, Roger and Sally Barton capture the heart of our community with conversations that will encourage you and empower you to make a positive difference.
Welcome to Portraits, snapshots of life, hope, and faith. Now, you may be listening and going, hey, you don't sound like Roger and Sally Barton, and you'd be correct. We're giving them the weekend off. I'm Dave Schreiber, and along with Kelly Blackwell, we have the pleasure of guest hosting this week's show, which I believe you're going to find to be quite informative, as we have in the studio with us Steve and Annette Economides, New York Times bestselling authors and also holders of the title of America's Cheapest Family. Now, they've written a book titled The Money Smart Family System, Teaching Financial Independence to Children of Every Age, and they're here to share their knowledge with you, our Arizona Shine listening family, this weekend. And by the end of this program, it's our hope that you'll have gained some insight into how to teach your children to manage money and have a good attitude while they're learning to earn, budget, and spend wisely. Steve and Annette raised their 5 kids while spending 77% less than the USDA predicted. And the money they did spend was also used to train their children to become financially independent. Steve and Annette, welcome to Portraits. And I guess the best place to start is with that USDA prediction. Tell us what the number is that the USDA has said it will cost to raise a child to the age of 17.
Every year, the USDA produces this survey, and it's their best estimate. Some years it goes up a little higher, some years it goes a little lower. But basically, they estimate that it's going to cost you to raise a child from birth to the age of 17. This is exclusive of college costs.
Oh, okay.
Okay, exclusive of college. And they take into account so many square feet in a house, so many cubic inches in a car, so much for food, so much for clothes, medical care, dental care, education expenses, all that stuff. And we write about this in our book, The Money Smart Family System, Teaching Financial Independence to Children of Every Age, because we took those same calculations and we looked at our numbers for our 5 kids. And we'll tell you at the end what it cost us to raise 5 kids. But the USDA says it will cost you $261,000 per child.
Before college.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Now we know the government estimates are always right on. Let's put it in perspective. Most of the people who do this estimating live in probably the most expensive city in the country to live in. They're in Washington, D.C. Honolulu is the most expensive. Oh. They're probably basing everything on buying things new, where we know that there's a part of the economy where used clothes, swip-swap,
Craigslist, eBay,
offer up, you know, thrift stores, those are all ways we can save. But that's not the only thing you have to do different. But bottom line, it's going to cost you something. So our goal, when we were raising our kids, we were dirt poor. I mean, when we were first married, we were earning $838 a month take home. We were pregnant within 2 months of getting married, or 3 months.
Which wasn't the plan.
That wasn't the plan. But that's okay. That was God's plan.
Right.
And we made a commitment early on to live on what he provided. And it wasn't a lot, but we stayed within that, those means. Well, we did the same thing with our kids. When we first had kids, we were going, okay, now listen, we're not going to do allowance, right? No way. We're not going to pay our kids for being part of our family. That's just ridiculous. We're not going to do that, you know? I mean, really, the bottom line was we didn't want to give them money for doing nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds a lot like welfare. Okay, you know, welfare has its place, but in a home, we want to raise adults who are financially independent. Giving them money for doing nothing doesn't get you anything. So we decided what we wanted to do was come up with a way, kind of a false economy. We're going to make a little econometus economy. That's what we said. We're going to come up with a way for the kids to earn the money we would normally spend on them. And then they would learn to manage it.
Because parents today, let's face it, they're giving their children $20 to head to the mall or to go to the movies.
Sure.
So what we're saying to parents, you're already giving your kids money. What if we could tell you how to take that money and now flip it around and turn it into an investment in your kids and start training and teaching your kids to become financially independent?
So if it's an investment, you expect a return on that investment, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So let's say we give $20 to a child to go to the mall. What's the return we expect? We expect that our contribution will become less and less, and their shouldering of financial responsibility would become more and more as they get older, to the point that when they're 18 years old, we will not have to support them. Not because we're being mean, but because we're teaching them to develop financial strength. And muscles are developed by exercising them, lifting progressively heavier and heavier weights. So how can you do that financially?
We developed a system called Money Smart Kids. Basically, it's 4 points that kids can earn every day. Their morning point, which means making their bed and taking care of their personal hygiene and eating breakfast without complaining.
A good attitude.
Right. Nice. Their school point. So if they go to a public school, a charter school, a private school, coming home, getting their homework done. So we homeschooled. So that involved the whole homeschool experience and being diligent about their studies and getting their work done in a timely manner.
And okay. Having a good attitude about it.
Right. Right. And chores, again, we feel like chores are the gateway to a strong work ethic. So I think a lot of the youngsters today don't take pride in a job well done, whether it's mopping a floor or cleaning a toilet or getting clothes into their closet where they belong, and they don't see the value in that.
So every day we'd have a chore point, and we built a chore chart, and we'd let the kids go up and say, you know, okay, pick two or three things you want to do today. And then mom or I would have veto power, saying, well, no, you know, you scoop poop yesterday, so we're not going to do that
well,
today.
Well, they would pick their favorite thing, whatever it was. So you can't have that be done every day, right?
Right.
So we'd have, it's called shared control. We'd have that chore chart, and we'd actually have each of their names with age-appropriate chores listed underneath their names. And then they could come to us and pick two or three things, depending on how much time we had that day to get that done. And then they'd pick, I'd say, okay, or well, that's just been done, or that kind of a thing.
So if you do your chore and you do it like you were asked, and a chore for a three-year-old is going to be different, have different expectations than a chore
Absolutely.
For a 12-year-old. But they do it as best they can, and they do it without complaining, they get their chore point. Are you catching kind of a theme through this? Because we're not working with just doing a job. We're talking about an attitude. Because we all know that if we go to work and we have a crummy attitude, we're not going to be working very long. It's not going to be pleasant for anybody. And so that's kind of the thing we're working with here is what's your attitude? And then the last thing, last point of the day, the fourth point is called Roundup. And we had 7 people in our house, and we realized that if each of us left 3 things out a day,
that was 21
things
items
a day.
Oh. And within 5 days, you're over 100 items, right?
Yeah. There's 3 in my household, and we need a Roundup badly.
So that's an Arizona term, you know. So we told them, time for Roundup. This was after dinner, before dessert. And they went through the house. They cleaned things up. And we got the house reset, kind of like you're doing a dramatic presentation on stage. Everything gets put back where it belongs. It's not perfect, but it was the idea that we had a time every day where we're going to put things back. And so if, 4 points a day.
And if time is limited, you can say, you know, we're going to deal with the common areas. You know, so we're going to make sure the kitchen, the dining room, the family room, the living room, the front hallway, that kind of stuff is all tidy. Bedrooms could be on another day if they need to be. It depends on how much time you have. But there is flexibility, and mom and dad can call however they want to call it. That's what I love about this plan.
So we had 4 points a day, 5 days a week.
Okay.
That'd be 20 points. And then on Saturday, there was no school, so that was 3 points. So that's 23. Well, then we came up with another idea. So, you know, one of the coolest things about working for somebody is if you work for somebody and you see a job that needs to be done and you take initiative to do it, they're going to appreciate that. So we said to the kids, okay, you can earn 23 points Monday through Saturday. If you do 2 extra things that we don't ask you to do, we'll give you a bonus. So you come up with, you come in and say, you know what, the patio was really dirty, so I went and swept it up. Or somebody spilled something on the floor, and it wasn't me, but I wiped it up. They come to us, we write it on their time card. We had a time card that they filled out every day at breakfast. I signed off on it. If they found 2 extra things to do, they got double pay. A bonus incentive.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me just interject something here. If you have a lot of kids and mom is overwhelmed with life, this is a great thing for dad to do. So he took over doing this, and it was a wonderful, wonderful bonding thing for him and the kids. It was a way for us to really impart positive things into their life, because getting rewarded financially on payday once a week for a job well done, some of those kids just took off with this whole system. Yep. They loved it.
Every Sunday, payday.
Okay, now we talk about that. For kids, being able to teach them about smart finances, how to handle money well, you can start with them at any age. what age is a good age to start?
Great question.
As far as teaching your children.
The younger the better, but even with teens, it's not too late.
Right, it's never too late to start. But the earliest, we think that you could probably start teaching a child about, at least about the chores part and about coins, is 3 years old, believe it or not.
Wow.
At
3 years old, they can start to understand the concept of chores. And it may only be picking up their toys when they're done. You know,
right.
It may be setting the table with plastic cups and non-breakable dishes. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It may be dragging the laundry basket through the house to the laundry.
But
when our littlest Abby was 3 years old, she was literally running to the payday table, and she would desperately want to grab hold of all of these concepts. So she'd lay her coins down. What's this one? And how much is this one? And she picked it up. Like, at 5 years old, they're definitely ready. By eight, so at 5 years old, they can use that three-compartment bank where there's a give, a save, and a spend.
Mm-hmm.
At 8 years old is when they can officially be on our Money Smart Kids system as far as the envelopes. Because at 8 years old, they have enough math skills to do addition, subtraction, percents, decimals. So that's where they can actually run ledgers on the envelopes for their money.
It's not complicated, but basically what they do, each week at payday, we hand them their money, and they are responsible for putting 10% into give, 20% into save, and the rest into spend. So they're learning percentages.
Right.
Okay. Then they have to write down what they put in each envelope. And then as they spend it, they write down what they spent. And every Sunday at payday, we calculate how much they have in their envelope, and we make sure it balances. So they're learning to balance a checkbook or balance a ledger. And what happened we didn't expect was that the kids started saying, hey, how much money do you have in all your envelopes? Oh, I've got more than you, you know? And it started this competition. You know what it was? They were calculating their net worth. And they explain that principle to them. They go, oh, well, my net worth is $1,000.
Wow.
You know, and they started taking pride in that and going, gosh, I'm going to start saving more.
Stephen Annette Economides, authors of The Money Smart Family System, Teaching Financial Independence to Children of Every Age. And as always, all the information on how to get your own copy of this book, along with links to their website and the audio of this program, can be found under the Portraits tab at arizonashine.org. Now, when we return, we're going to dig a little deeper into the envelope system and how Stephen Annette used this technique to teach their kids wise spending and saving habits. We'll be back in just a moment with more on Portraits, Snapshots of Life, Hope, and Faith, right here on Arizona Shine.
Real people with real stories, right here in Arizona. Thanks for listening to Portraits on Arizona Shine.
Welcome back to Portraits, Snapshots of Life, Hope, and Faith here on Arizona Shine. I'm Dave Schreiber, guest hosting this week along with Kelly Blackwell, and our guests in the studio are helping us to realize that being frugal can actually be fun. We're visiting with Stephen Annette Economides, authors of The Money Smart Family System, Teaching Financial Independence to Children of Every Age. And they're showing us that with clear tips for children of every age, it's never too early, too late, or too hard to start learning financial responsibility. Now, in the last segment, we had started to learn about the envelope system. And Kelly, I know this was of particular interest to you.
Now, the envelope system, I am a huge fan. That's what my family uses as far as my husband and myself. What I'm thinking with children, like I know we have, you know, we have our food, we have our vehicle money, we have insurance, like everything we could possibly think of to magazine subscriptions we have figured out. But how do you separate an envelope system for children?
Okay, well, let's remember that these are children.
Yeah.
You're an adult, and you have 10 times the responsibility. So you're going to have many more envelopes.
Right.
We are slowly transferring adult responsibilities to them as they become age-appropriate and as they are mature enough. So at the age of five, they're going to have three envelopes.
Okay.
Give, save, and spend. That's simple. Cool thing is that they all have this foundation of knowing that giving, saving, spending, and then allocating your money into different areas to protect it is important.
And one of the things I love is that you cultivated that sense of blessing others at an early age. You know, you didn't just do, okay, here's your spending, here's your saving, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It was important to you as parents to make sure that your children knew that what we have and how we're blessed can then turn around and be a blessing to someone else. And that's incredible.
And it doesn't always have to just be money. Yeah. Right. Remember, we also told them, hey, when you outgrow these toys or these clothes, who would you like to give them to?
Right.
So we're just trying to be a conduit.
And our kids knew that giving was a priority for us. I mean, we support over a dozen missionaries.
Nice.
So there are many, many times we had missionaries over for dinner at our house when they were on furlough. And our kids actually grew up loving them, being friends with their kids.
Right.
And so our kids understand about the whole charitable giving thing because it was so much a part of our life.
Let's move to miscellaneous because that can cover such a wide area. As far as miscellaneous expenses, what do you cover versus having your kids cover?
Oh, good question.
That is a great question. And I'll tell you, when we were writing our book, this third book, Money Smart Family System, we were like, what are miscellaneous expenses? I went on Facebook and I'm like, you know, share what miscellaneous expenses would be.
Right.
And so our fans just started just throwing things out there. The thing grew to like, I don't know, 50 comments in a flash. And I was like, oh my gosh, I would never have thought of this. So let me give you some categories. Medical. Mm-hmm. We feel like it is definitely the parents' responsibility to cover medical. So we, you know, we covered doctor visits, wisdom teeth extractions, dental visits, eye doctor visits.
Cool.
Bath and beauty. Let's talk about bath and beauty. I would supply my children with basics, but as they got older, they would want more specific things. And so those gifts, like certain brands or of hair or body soap or whatever. And so what we tried to do is give those for Christmas. Those were great stocking stuffers or just a fun Christmas box.
Or they could buy them on their own.
If I knew, you know, there was one particular shampoo that one of my girls liked and I found it on sale and I had a coupon, sure, I would buy that. But if there was more specific things that they wanted, they were responsible for going out and getting those. Because we would provide basic care, but if some of those really fancy, expensive things.
Well, we didn't pay for pedicures, manicures. Okay. We did, one of our sons wanted to dye his hair. He bought his own hair dye kit.
And I helped him.
Yeah. But so we aren't going to say no. But really, if you start your children young, learning to earn, learning to manage their money every week by putting it into budget categories, and learning to spend carefully, they really won't have those extravagant wants that they're going to come to you to pay for.
And even if you're starting with teenagers, you can say, look, this is what my budget will allow, X dollars.
Right.
But, Mom, you know? I want those $200 jeans.
And then you say, that's fine. You can go earn money. You can mow lawns. You can pet sit. You can babysit. Mm-hmm. You can have those.
So you'll contribute a certain portion.
I'll give you X amount of dollars, and you earn the rest.
Okay.
So you're not really telling them no, right? You're just encouraging them to work for them.
Learn the value of a dollar.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay. Another thing that was part of the miscellaneous expenses, which I had no idea about, education supplies or school.
Sure.
Well, of course, school supplies for us, there's so many great deals right before school starts. Mm-hmm. There should be no problem getting those school supplies. And even right after school starts, then there's the markdowns,
absolutely,
right? But how far do you go? Because as they get to be the senior in high school, there's all kinds of things from yearbooks and senior pictures to prom to rings. And what we've told folks is, you know what? If you want to buy a yearbook, that's great. But in some schools now, anybody can buy a yearbook and they're doing them twice a year. So you figure out what your limit is. Right. I will buy one yearbook your senior year of high school.
Okay. Now, remember, we're talking about a 17 or 18-year-old.
Right.
In our economy, the Economides family, by 17 or 18, we have hoped that we've imparted enough financial strength to you that you're pretty much on your own because they've got a part-time job, they're managing their money well, they're saving for college. So really at this point, there should be nothing that we should spend on them because they are just about adults. So as their wants increase, you know, let's talk about a car.
Wait, hold on. He forgets. Right. Wait, let me just wrap this up with one more thing. Miscellaneous expenses. Steve forgets that we're the black belts at this point. Okay? We are truly the black belts of frugal living. And so I really want to speak to the people out there that have teenagers or tweens or older elementary, and they're like, oh my gosh, I really haven't done much with this.
Right.
Don't panic. Don't say, oh, it's too far gone. I don't even want to try. Don't do that. Just say, okay, let's figure this out. That's why we've been talking about pick a number that's okay for your budget. mm-hmm. and then let them earn the rest.
You know what's cool is when we allow our kids the opportunity to work through, to struggle, to lift the weight mm-hmm. of a heavy financial chore, and they succeed, they have a huge sense of accomplishment that we can steal from them by paying for it. And if we really want to raise financially independent adults, allowing them that struggle, just like the caterpillar that makes the chrysalis and then comes out a butterfly, they have to struggle, otherwise they die. Mm-hmm. We need to allow our kids that struggle, but we're there with loving hands to protect them from a big danger. But how much harm is there going to be to let them go mow some lawns or sell off some of their toys to buy that ticket to prom?
Or babysit or pet mm-hmm. sit or mm-hmm. whatever.
There's so many ways.
Now, we've talked about high school. And, of course, one of the big milestones in high school is hitting 16. And you've got, I don't know, for me as a woman, as a girl, it wasn't as big of a deal because I really just, I had guy friends who had cars, but cars were huge. Mm-hmm. Having a great car. You know, parents want to sometimes, you know, bless their child with mm-hmm. a new car or a really great car. Mm-hmm. And they, how do you go about this? Where do you, you know, with your savings and with these point systems mm-hmm. and the children having a part-time job and wanting something special and also having that heart desire of wanting to do it too, what do you do?
A lot of it has to do with what we grew up with.
Right.
And that kind of starts our expectations. If we were given a car when we were 16, we kind of expect to give our child a car. But let's take a step back. We're raising financially independent adults. That's the goal. Is it beneficial? Does it teach them anything to give them a car? Now, some kids it may. Some kids it may. Some kids may have this attitude of total gratitude mm-hmm. and understand the sacrifice it took to give it to them. But I would say most of the time, we are robbing them of a great opportunity to trust God and to work hard and to see the fruit of their labor. So we start off by saying, number one, if you want to drive, you have to pay for your own insurance. Like so that. We took our son, John, to the meet with the auto insurance agent. And John sat there and Paul told him that it was going to cost him $600 every 6 months to drive mom and dad's Honda Accord. Well, John said, well, I can afford that. You know, we told them they had to have 6 months worth of insurance saved before they got their driver's license.
Okay.
Well, John said, I can do that. And he said, he sits back in his chair and he goes, well, what if I was driving a Dodge Viper? And Paul just laughs. So he starts typing. Primary driver, 16-year-old, Dodge Viper. And he just sat back in his chair and goes, okay, well, after you paid $80,000 for the car, John, your insurance premium every 6 months would be $9,333. Will that be cash or check? You know, and that was an awesome thing. John turns to me and says, well, I guess I'll be driving your car. What a great question. Because
awesome.
we've got to help our kids understand the cost and the responsibility that go behind driving. And buying a car is not the end cost.
Stephen Annette Economides, authors of The Money Smart Family System, Teaching Financial Independence to Children of Every Age, our guest this weekend on Portraits. And as always, all the information on how to get your own copy of this book, along with links to their websites of Money Smart Family and audio of this program can be found under the Portraits tab at arizonashine.org. And I tell you what, when we come back, let's talk about preparing your child for that ever-important first-paying job. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a moment with more with Steve and Annette Economides, America's Cheapest Family, here on Portraits, Snapshots of Life, Hope, and Faith on Your Arizona Shine. More on the other side of this break.
Snapshots of Life in Arizona. Thanks for listening to Portraits on Arizona Shine.
The Money Smart Family System is just that smart. Steve and Annette have been passing on financial principles to their children for years, and now you can learn their secrets too. The next generation needs to know how to steward their money, time, and possessions in a way that makes God and their parents smile. That quote from Howard Dayton, founder of Compass Finances God's Way and author of Your Money Counts. Welcome back to Portraits. I'm Dave Schreiber and having a great time guest hosting this week along with Kelly Blackwell. Hanging out in the studio with us is Steve and Annette Economides, authors of The Money Smart Family System, Teaching Financial Independence to Children of Every Age. And they're showing us that with clear tips for children of every age, it's never too early too late or too hard to start learning financial responsibility. Now, in the last segment, we were talking about a big step in a teen's life, their first car. But another huge step, boy, is that first job. And there's so much that goes into that, so many different decisions that might have to be made about that first job.
So what was your philosophy? Because I know there are some parents that say, well, okay, you can work during the summer, but during the school year, that's, you know, I want you to concentrate on your grades. Mm-hmm. And there's are others that just say, well, if you have a job, you're doing a job, and this could be your responsibility to make sure your grades stay up as
now,
well.
Now, we're all parents in here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
Or parents-to-be. How many of us only have one priority in our life?
Only have one ball to juggle.
Yeah.
That's it.
There you go.
That's it. We just have to do school. That's all we have to do.
And you know, the truth is that there are studies out there that have shown that a child that works a job from 10 to 15 hours a week, mm-hmm. which basically provides spend money and a little bit extra, right? Mm-hmm. Their grades are actually better because they're learning to juggle balls.
We're teaching them to be adults. And adults have multiple responsibilities. They have multiple roles. You are a child. You are a sibling. You are a parent. There are multiple roles, multiple responsibilities. We work. We maintain the house. So it's not unrealistic to expect a 16 to 18-year-old to work a job, do school, and volunteer.
I think it's a terrible disservice to say to our 16 to 18-year-olds, your responsibility is just good grades. What? It's insulting. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely insulting because a 16 to an 18-year-old is capable of so much more than
that. Have you guys heard of the book Do Hard Things? Do Hard Things by Brett and Alex Harris. Okay, they were challenged to spend a summer reading books about people who made something great of their lives in their teen years, because our society looks at the teen years as kind of a holding pattern before you're an adult.
Sure.
These kids ended up getting involved in the political process, being interns with
a county court system or something like that.
It changed their lives. Wow. And so they're challenging teens to look at the teen years as a time to become something, not just to wait.
And there's so many times that our kids will volunteer someplace, and that will end up being their vocation. We have some of the most interesting experiences. Our daughter loves animals, our oldest daughter. So at one point she thought, I want to be a veterinarian. Mm-hmm. Okay, she had read all kinds of books. So I called the veterinarian that was just like a mile from our house and said, I have a teenage daughter that's thinking that she may want to go to school to be a veterinarian. Can she volunteer up there one morning a week? 3 hours, one morning a week. They said, sure. She did it for 6 months. Wow. After 6 months, she said, I don't want to be a veterinarian. I said, you don't? She said, no, I must have been thinking about like the country doctors or something out in the country, those kinds of vets, because the ones in the city, all they do all day long is spay, neuter, clean teeth, and trim nails.
Wow.
That is their primary focus.
Do you know how valuable that was? Because the average college student changes majors 2 or 3 times. Mm-hmm. And each time they change majors, it extends their college experience, which means it extends the amount of money they're going to spend and probably the debt they're going to carry.
Right.
We can talk about that in a few minutes.
And when she volunteered, most of the time, she was clean. She was mopping, sweeping. Mm-hmm. I mean, she got the grunge jobs, but she paid close attention to what was going on in the office. She observed everything that was. So, no, she never really touched the animals, but she got to see what happened day in and day out.
Invaluable. We are strong proponents of allowing our children to find out what they don't want to do before they go off to college. So give them those experiences of internships, volunteering, working, job shadowing, whatever that they're interested in. So we had a son who was interested in being a policeman. So we got him involved in police explorers. And he spent time going on ride-alongs, getting trained, learning, going to the shooting range, getting tased. I mean, all kinds of great experiences. And in the meantime, he was volunteering at church doing sound and lighting and audio. He came out of his experience with police explorers. He got a degree in criminal justice and then decided that the volunteer work was more satisfying. So now he's one of the top sound and lighting engineers. He travels all over the country doing
shows.
But he worked for the church for 10 years.
NASCAR.
Yeah. Wow.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
So help your kids. This is, you know, financial stability in our society is not a sure thing anymore. And there are a lot of pitfalls that can be sidestepped if we start young, looking at our job as parents to help launch these kids to their future and their career. You know, in the Jewish culture, the job of the father for the son was to give him a vocation and find him a wife.
And build a house.
Oh, and build a house.
They That's built right. a house on the land.
Okay. You know, and but we are kind of failing wanting, we don't want to be helicopter parents.
Right.
But we do want to be that guiding hand to say, okay, you want to be a policeman? Great, let's get you involved.
Some people think it's either total hands-off or helicopter. There's so much in between that. You're talking one extreme to the other, for Pete's sakes, you know? So like Steve's saying, encourage your kids to go out and fail, if you want to call it that. Because the more failures they experience, the more they know, that's not what I want to do.
Right.
Exactly, and it'll help them to find out what they do want to do probably a lot quicker than getting to later on in life and still trying to figure out, okay, what is it that I want to do or not do with my life? Well, that leads us from high school going into
college, and and that's where my son is now. And those expenses have really, really surprised us, but what can expenses right there? What can parents do about those escalating college expenses? We hear it on the news every day. They're just getting more and more expensive, and students are coming out with just big debt.
They are. The average is about $30,000 to $35,000. We're staying at a hotel a year ago. Talked to somebody behind the front desk who got their degree in hotel management, graduated from a state school with $200,000 worth of debt because she changed her major four times. This is unconscionable for parents to sign their 17-year-old up for loans. Watch, let me give you a scenario.
And we have time to touch on it today, but really, it's a whole nother episode, a whole nother show, just college savings alone.
So you're an average homeowner. Household income of $50,000, and you want to go borrow $700,000. Do you think a bank would loan you that money?
No.
Okay, so let's take a 17-year-old who has no job, no work history, very little money in the bank. Maybe they have worked a part-time job and earned $4,000 a year. They can borrow at least $60,000 to go to school. Isn't that insane?
Okay, it's a travesty.
But the truth is, whenever there is a large dollar figure for anything in life, there are always multiple ways to save and get the product you want.
Right.
So we want an education. First thing we said with our kids is we aren't going to borrow money. We don't believe that that is the right thing. We believe that God says he wants to give us every good thing that we need. So if you're going to go to college, then he's going to provide somehow, and that's what we're going to watch for. But we have to do our part, and our part is, are we willing to think differently? Okay, so we started our kids on AP classes when they were in high school, and so they graduated high school with 30 credits to their name already.
Nice.
Now, we did that by going to the community college, and community college credits are more than 50% less than a full college education.
There's also another option to AP classes, especially, you know, with homeschool, we had a little bit more flexibility.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, so if you're not dealing with homeschool, then there's also CLEP testing. And CLEP testing is something that can be done over the summer. And there's study guides online that are free. There's study guides at the library. And you can take especially your gen ed classes like economics, history. All of those can be CLEP testing. And I think the way CLEP testing works is you spend $70 on the test.
It's 80, but...
Okay, 80. Yeah. You study your brains out with your study manual. If you pass by like 50 or 60%, you get 3 college credits for that class.
Right.
Now, there's a lady. We have a blog on our website written by Becky Muldrow. She started a program for her son who came to her at the age of 15 and said, Mom, I want to be a lawyer. What does it take to be a lawyer? She said, well, you have to get your 4-year degree. Okay, I'll be 19 by then. And then you have to go to law school, and that takes about 3 years. I'll be 22. You mean I have to wait to 22 to be a lawyer? Mom, there's got to be another way. So she researched the CLEP testing. Well, she found a way to do CLEP testing on steroids. It's called dual credit at home, and her son graduated 22 months later, so at the age of 16 and a half or so, spending $3,000, he got all of his credits through CLEP and Dante's testing through a accredited school called Charter Oak School. The whole story is there. It's an amazing program.
And we have a whole blog on our website that talks about it and explains
There's no one way to do college. But so you can go steroids and do the online thing and get your undergraduate degree really inexpensively and really quickly, or you can do the community college thing. Mm-hmm. But the whole bottom line for us is do it without borrowing and let God be the provider.
And the truth is,
it's going to be an amazing trip.
If you start with a community college degree and then you go on to a four-year degree and you get a degree from that four-year school, whoever asks you, where did you go to school the first 2 years?
Right.
Right?
Right.
So I would say live at home. So because living at home saves you $6,000 a year, just that right. alone. So if you don't have a university near you that's a four-year university, mm-hmm. start out at the community college. The classes are smaller. They have wonderful labs that you could go to for free tutoring at those mm-hmm. at the community colleges.
Class sizes are smaller. The teachers right. for the yes. 100 and 200 level classes are professors, not TAs. I'm going, this is crazy. What a great value. But bottom line, frugality brings freedom. Debt destroys. Mm-hmm. We're seeing the result of $1.4 trillion worth of student loan debt crippling our economy. Look, it used to be...
Kids aren't able to get married. They're not able to right. buy houses. They're living at home.
Right. See, this is not just, you know, this friend over here who has $50,000 worth of college debt and can't afford to buy a house, so they're living with mom and dad. It is so throughout our society right. that first-time home buyers have been cut by 10%. Because they used to be the 20-year-old, 25-year-olds, 30-year-olds who just graduated college. Now, on our side of the story, mm-hmm. Abby, our youngest, graduated college at 21. She got married at 20 to Colin, who had no student debt. He graduated college the same year. They graduated last December. They just bought a house this April.
Wow.
But they also learned to manage their money. They aren't doing it the way we would do it, but they're doing it their way, and God's protecting them. It's different. It scares the heck out of us, but I know that God is walking them down a path, a faith walk. But they are so far ahead of their peers because they said, you know, that used to be just say no to drugs, just say no to debt, just say no. And when you say no to that closed door, when you go to sign up for go enroll in a college, if you tell the enrollment person whose job is to get you enrolled in that college that you're mm-hmm. only going to enroll if you can do it without debt, you know what you've done? You've just made their job harder. Because if you say yes to loans, they can just say, okay, here's the paperwork, go fill it out, we'll get right. you into school. You've made their job really easy. They can go on and fill their quota. Make their job a little harder. Challenge them. There is so much money out there mm-hmm. for college.
In scholarships.
We have a book that we refer people to all the time. It's about 3 inches thick. It's called Grants and Scholarships to Individuals. It's 3 inches thick.
Wow.
Every state has probably at least 2,000 or 3,000 grants that are available for different things, music grants, athletic grants.
It's not just for academics.
Medical grants.
Right.
Okay. The first grant in America, the first foundation, was established in 1660. It's still around today.
Wow.
It was two guys, the Payne brothers. They owned 30 acres of land in Massachusetts, and they wanted to give it to the Ipswich, Massachusetts School District.
Okay.
That grant, that foundation is still functioning today. There are townhouses built on it. The money from the townhouses goes to the school district. It was contested in court about 5 years ago. The grant, the foundation could not be changed. Every year, people die leaving money in foundations to benefit different causes.
Right.
There is money out there. If we help our kids research foundations, grants, scholarships, they can go to school for free.
But that's a whole, I'm serious. We've got so much more that we can share on that. We do have an audio product on our website.
Awesome.
It's called Debt Free College, Fantasy Your Reality, and it's been our reality for 5 kids.
Right.
That's
and
wonderful.
So that's available on our website at moneysmartfamily.com that people can order.
Stephen Annette Economides, authors of The Money Smart Family System, teaching financial independence to children of every age. And as always, all the information on how to get your own copy of this book, along with links to their website and audio of this program, can be found under the Portraits tab at arizonashine.org. When we return, let's talk about how to deal with the situation. And be prepared if your children do run into a financial brick wall. And do ask for a bailout. How you should respond, the decisions that are involved in a situation like that. We'll be back in just a moment with more on Portraits, Snapshots of Life, Hope, and Faith here on Arizona Shine. We'll have more in just a moment.
conversations to encourage your walk with Christ. Thanks for listening to Portraits on Arizona Shine.
Welcome back to Portraits. I'm Dave Schreiber, enjoying my time guest hosting this week along with Kelly Blackwell. And hanging out in the studio with us is Steve and Annette Economides, authors of The Money Smart Family System, Teaching Financial Independence to Children of Every Age. It's a book written for parents to have money, any amount of money, from a small amount to a small fortune. It's also a book about how you as a parent deal with that money and deal with your kids at every age and stage of life. Now, Steve and Annette, we said we were going to touch on the topic of how to deal with the situation and be prepared if your child does run into a financial brick wall and does ask for a bailout, how to handle that type of a situation.
Okay, we do get this question asked to us a lot. If you have a young adult right now that is not living with you, they're living on their own, but they're struggling, really struggling financially. A lot of parents, I get that, your heart wants to help.
Right.
Resist the urge to bail them out 100% financially. What we say...
We saw how bailouts worked with the government.
What we say to parents is, buy a bag of groceries. Take a bag of groceries over. Buy gas cards so they can fill their cars with gas and get back and forth to work.
Is it possible that God is actually loving them by bringing them to this point in their life where they're at a tipping point? And there's an old saying that says, if you fix the fix that God fixed to fix you, he'll fix another fix to fix you. In other words, we may be short-circuiting what God is doing. So go into this very, very prayerfully. And be that hand up, but not a handout. Be careful. We don't want to be stingy, but we also don't want to short-circuit the process.
We've even told parents, if you need to pay a utility bill or a mortgage, do not hand money. Never hand your child money. Pay the utility bill directly to the utility company. Right. Same with the mortgage company. We knew an older couple, their kids came to them for help. They gave them money, and they found out months later that it never went to the mortgage. It went to a new puppy, a tattoo.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. So don't hand your children money.
If, you know, you'll know if they're really sincere about getting help. And if they are, don't try and counsel them yourself. I don't think that's the healthiest way. We need to be parents and, at that point, peers and encouragers. Pay for counseling. Mm-hmm. Pay for, help them, take them to Money Management International, which is a 60-year-old credit counseling firm. It's a nonprofit, well-trusted. I've talked to most of their leadership, quality company. And their average fee they charge to help people get out of debt is about $20 a month. So bottom line, be the support network. Don't give them the money. Help them find the resources themselves. And, you know, we've had conversations because we've got a prodigal. And we thought if he ever comes back, would we take him into our home? We might. Depends on his attitude. But there are also resources like Phoenix Rescue Mission, Church on the Street, different resources that we can point them to that can help them and probably help them better than
right.
we can.
Because you know how it is. It's always easier to hear something from somebody other than mom and dad.
Right.
Yes.
Right?
True, yes.
True.
It is.
Yes.
And certainly we could probably advise easier when our heart's not so invested.
These are such heart-tearing questions and True. Situations. And really, there's nothing short of God's wisdom that's going to solve the problem. But we do need to be hands and feet of Jesus, loving, kind.
In practical ways.
Yeah.
Yep. Without hurting ourselves.
Right. Now, you said in the beginning about the USDA estimates and that to raise a child from birth to 17 was $260,000. But you have five, and we can tell that that's not the same number for you.
Nope.
Please
share
with us.
What I calculated was so many square feet in our house, and I calculated the cost of our house and then broke it up by the number of kids. Mm-hmm. And then I calculated what we paid for health insurance, and that was in current dollars.
Okay.
I calculated what we paid them through our payday system.
It was hilarious watching him do all these calculations.
I've got the spreadsheet. It's amazing. what we spent on clothes and then what they spent, medical care, all that stuff, and it came out to $60,000 a child.
$60,000
instead of $261,000.
So what I told our kids is that they each owe me $200,000.
So we figured raising five kids saved us
$1 million.
$1 million.
$1 million. Yeah. Wow.
Absolutely amazing. Steve and Annette Economides, authors of the book. They're affectionately known, first of all, as America's Cheapest Family, but I think you've proven that frugality is freedom.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, debt destroys, and I love that. I need to put that on a big, just a big frame in my house. You know, we should probably have that over our doors or on a doormat or something to remind us every day. Authors of the book, The Money Smart Family System, Teaching Financial Independence to Children of Every Age. The cool thing is, it's never too late to start.
That's right.
No matter where your children are at, no matter how you go, wait a minute, can I do this? Yes, you can. And you can find out all the information. We have the information to their website, how you can get a copy of this book for yourself. Everything is up on our website at arizonashine.org. Steve and Annette, once again, you've come in and you showed it can be fun as well.
Mm-hmm.
It can be fun. It doesn't have to be drudgery. It doesn't have to be depressing. It doesn't have to bring you down.
Yes.
Because I hear the joy in you and the power that it gives us when we're not tied and we're not debtors.
The borrower becomes the lender's slave.
There you go.
Yes.
Right there. Everything's up on arizonashine.org. We encourage you to go there. You can listen back to this program. Share it with your friends. Don't keep it to yourself.
Yes.
It's a message that definitely needs to be spread out. We appreciate you joining us this weekend for another edition of Portraits here on Arizona Shine.